Apparently, Stewie requested this tune.
Hell yeah, Stewie. It's a great song.
Won't back down.
It's Tom Petty, right?
Yes, it is Tom Petty. It's a good tune. Let's just play it throughout the whole interview on a loop. I love that Stewie.
Our first interview done with
background music. Well, Anthony Stewart joins us now, our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. And Stewie, former NHL forward and current sports analyst, what's with the tune?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me this morning. Just dropped the kids off of school. Just saw someone do an illegal U-turn. No big deal, but...
Report them!
I think that song commemorates just the Toronto Maple Leafs right now. They have every reason to be backing down 14D and a couple forwards as well, too. So it just shows that they're not backing down and playing some good hockey on their current little run that they're on.
All right. So you like the resiliency, the fortitude of this team. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who's leading that in your thoughts, like, other than Mitch Marner, okay? You don't get to pick him, but, like, he gets all the hype and love, and we'll give it to him after this. But is there someone that has been an unsung leader that hasn't been getting the praise that they deserve so far?
Well, I think I'll just start off by saying I think the big four, you know, obviously that's included with Mitch Marner right now, who's playing some great, great hockey on pace for his 20th, consecutive game with the point. But I think this was sort of the vision that Kyle Dubas had when he obviously signed everybody to his long-term contracts, assuming that on any given night, three of those players are going to have their B-plus games. And you can't always bring your A game every night to the National Hockey League, but you got to bring your B-plus game in. I think that's the reason why the team's been doing well, because in previous seasons, I think it was literally, one guy having a great night and then two guys having bad nights and an average night. So consistently now with the big four, they've really, really been stepping up, playing some great, great hockey. But for me, unsung hero, I think it has to be Gio. being 37, 38 years old, stepping up, playing a great, great, solid game. It's tough. It's tough to play 20-plus minutes. I think I only played 20 minutes maybe two or three times in my career, and I had to get the O2 tank out.
Like in total, you mean?
Yeah.
In a whole season.
Yeah, that too. Thank you for that one. Just seeing him step up, rise to the challenge when he had every reason to say, hey, you know what, I'm on my parachute contract. I'm going to be a number 5-6 and just, play okay hockey. He's really stepping up and playing good for this Maple Leafs team.
Yeah, he's working on the perfect season if you count the fact that he gave back some money before the season began and let things be a little bit more flexible, at least for management. Sticking with the core four for a second, let's play a little fill in the blank. The core four scoring 61% roughly of the Leafs' total goals so far is what?
Expected. Expected. Okay. And everyone could point to the numbers sort of for the bottom six, especially the bottom, three. It's not designed that way. Again, I think for them, they just have to come out and play some solid hockey, play solid defensive hockey, and don't get scored on. But, you're seeing these games that they're in tight games or they're in a power play near the end of the game. It's the power play that steps up, and it's one of those core big, big four. They're big game players. And people think, it's a lot of pressure. But, for me, if I had a long-term contract, even the longest I had was two years, I wasn't worried about performing. I knew I had that little bit of security. So, they have their money. They have their term. I think right now you're seeing the maturation of the big four now saying, hey, you know what? Let's start to win now. Let's do what we can now to sort of change the narrative of what we're doing here in Toronto and stepping up and winning some hockey games too. So I think there's almost this year, especially with the big four, that personal pride of saying, hey, you know what? We're tired of the headlines. We're tired of the first-round exits. Let's see what we can do now and try to build a winner here in Toronto.
It's the superstar in the streak on the opposite side, which makes tonight's game that much more meaningful. Jason Robertson obviously off to an absolutely outstanding start. Do you think he's a legitimate Hart Trophy favorite? And I'm not going to say favorite. A threat. Is he a Hart Trophy threat at this point?
Well, I think so. He's got 23 goals in 25 games with 41 points. And, I'm working TV tonight, but I'll give you this little inside tip. I was having a conversation with Richard Peverly, who's head of player development for the Dallas Stars, former teammate of mine in Atlanta. And he was saying, this guy is probably one of the most polished goal scorers that he's seen. He's seen, a lot of goal, top guys in Kozlov and Victor, sorry, and Ova. Kovalchuk. So guys that can really, really put the puck in the net. And he said, this guy is polished. So I think it's very underrated of him that we don't really see a lot of him because he's in Dallas. But he's saying, you know, there's the likes of McDavid and Draisaitl. He's like, this guy is going to be a superstar for years to come. So I'm excited to see him, you know, up close and personal tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs. But just hearing that tidbit from a guy who's, you know, a really good, solid hockey player, give that praise to Jason Robertson. I'm excited to see what he's going to do in the next couple of years, starting with tonight.
He's an interesting case study, right? Like Connor McDavid, it's obvious. Auston Matthews, it's obvious. Jason Robertson does a little bit of everything, but we were talking to Marty Turco earlier, and he said that his play off the puck is really what makes him special. And that's kind of funny because it seems like Nick Robertson, his brother's play off the puck, is what's holding him back a little bit. What do you make of that brotherly conundrum, I guess?
Well, there's things holding Nick Robertson back, and I don't think it's his play away from the puck. I think for him it's just an opportunity, and you're looking at other teams that are playoff contenders. You have to have young guys, guys that are on their entry level or just coming out of it, to really have an opportunity to show what they can do. And I think that's sort of the conundrum with Robertson. We don't know what we have with this player. You know, there's been some injuries over the years. He's been in and out of the lineup. You know, I've been advocating for give him 15 games, put him in a top, not even a top six role, top nine role, and really see what you can do. And, you know, I was a player that is in and out of the lineup. And just getting your legs after sitting for two games, it takes almost, you know, double. So for every game that you sit, it takes double to get back to the pace and all that. I know there's guys that are in shape and they're skating and they're working out, but it's tough to be in and out of the lineup in the National Hockey League, especially as a young guy and, you know, mentally getting prepared. But Robertson was one of those guys. He stepped into the lineup. They put him in a top six role. They left him alone, and that's what you got. You know, in his first year, he had 17 goals, and he built on that with 41 goals. Now he's on pace for over 60. So I think that's sort of the learning lesson, that when you have these young guys, just put them in a position to succeed and see what you're going to get. And there's going to be another player, too, that you're going to see tonight. You're going to be like, who is this guy? Roope Hintz. That's another guy that, again, wasn't messed around with. They just put him in there, let him play, let him develop. And that's why you're going to see some of these young guys turning into superstars down the road.
So, Stewie, naturally, we've made a lot of the brotherly connection between these two. One's having, as we said, an electric start to the season. One is, you know, left us wanting a bit more. You've had the NHL brother thing. How much do you keep tabs on that? Like, we are obviously kind of, I may be blowing this out of proportion, it is Toronto Sports Media here, but does that actually resonate? Do you keep a little bit of extra eye on what the brother's doing, or is it just focus on yourself and don't let the noise come in?
Yeah, you definitely keep tabs on your brother. And again, my brother came in the league as a fighter, and I'm, you know, texting him after games. I'm like, you fought Sheldon Surrey? Like, why are you fighting that guy? Why are you fighting Aaron Asham? Why are you fighting Colton Orr? So, and I'm like, you know what? You're making me look bad. But that actually helped me. I wouldn't have to fight those guys because they thought I was extra tough because of what my brother was doing. So they're thinking, well, if the little brother's fighting these guys, we'll leave the big brother alone. So that was my blessing and my curse in the National Hockey League. But it's great. You root for your brother. You keep track of him. You know, you watch his games as much as you can, but you really look forward to playing them. So it's great that, you know, I think it's their second time playing against each other. I only had the opportunity to play against my brother once, just injuries. I was scratched a couple times. You know, I was in the minors while he was up. So you really, really cherish those moments. So it's a great opportunity, and I think one that they're not ever going to forget.
Who got the best of that one matchup between you and your brother?
Well, it was a spirited match between the Carolina Hurricanes and St. Louis Blues in 2013. I don't remember.
What? How do you not remember?
Come on.
Or does that mean Chris got the best?
I don't. I'll tell you this story. I got hurt, I think, two nights, the game before, and I actually sprained my MCL.
It was a grade
two. And I said, I am not missing this game because we missed like two or three games before. And what I'm telling you, I taped my leg from my ankle to my hip, and I'm not missing this game. So I could barely get up and down the ice. I think I was probably like a dash three, but I made sure that I was on the score sheet against my brother.
Nice.
Do you view the Stars as a legitimate Stanley Cup contender?
Yes, And again, you have the star power up front, but I think you have the goaltending in Ottinger, and that's another guy where it just sort of came off the, you know, out of nowhere onto the radar. And I think that sometimes happens where you see Binnington and, you know, some other guys over the years where they really get that goaltending performance where they stand on their heads. So I think they're, what, sitting second now in the Central right now up there in the Western Conference. I would not be surprised to see them win a round or two because they've gone through their growing pains the last couple of years. And Pete DeBoer is a very, very prepared coach. He knows how to get the most out of most of his players. You're seeing Jamie Benn have a bit of a bounce back year. Sagan's doing a little bit better. They added Mason Marchment. But, you know, you're seeing Robertson. And watch Hintz. Please watch Hintz because you're going to be like, oh, man. Where do they find guys like these? Where do you get these guys? Where can I go purchase a Roope Hintz? You can't because this guy's a special player.
You mentioned Pete DeBoer. You had him in Florida, and he just, wherever he goes, that first stop, that first year, the second year usually good, the third year usually good, but the first year, it's superb, and it's been superb for the Dallas Stars this year. What makes him such a good coach, but what makes him such an immediate impact type of guy?
Well, I think he has the accountability. Right, he has the accountability where he's not afraid to shake things up. He's not afraid to go at the stars. So I think he puts everybody on an even playing field where you're saying you have to perform. If you're not going to perform, well, you know what? Someone else is going to step in and do your job. But I think for him, he's very, very system-oriented. He teaches the game. And, you know, kudos to his assistant coach in Steve Spott, who's they're very, very smart. So they know their team to a T. They know what they need to do to be successful. And I go back to my days in Florida where we didn't have any depth whatsoever. I think, you know, I was on the fourth line and we scored, I think, two goals the whole entire year, but we were only minus, I think we were minus one. We were only on for seven goals against the whole entire season. So we had that preparation. We knew exactly what the game plan was, and we executed it to a T because we had that accountability. So when you add some stars that Dallas does have, pardon my pun, that's going to make a team very, very successful, and they have the goaltending world as well. So I would not be surprised to see them, you know, go pretty far in the playoffs. But don't quote me because my predictions have been junk this year.
I remember the Ottawa Senators prediction. I think it was last year we spoke, and I kept bringing it up just to, you know, put a dagger in you every time. So I won't do that anymore.
What's the biggest oversight this year so far?
You know.
No,
I had Jack Campbell. I had Jack Campbell winning the Vezina.
Oh, I think you cursed him.
I missed that somehow.
I'll see you later. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Stewie, it's trending this way. It seems, at least. But the Leafs, you know, how they've had to go, you know, six, seven, eight, nine defensemen involved without their top three. It seems like things are getting a little bit sketchier back there, a little less stable. And with the Stars, a heavy team with speed and talent, do you suspect that tonight might be the night that the defensive issues or the defensive depth that has to be tested here for Toronto will finally come to roost?
Well, you heard the song at the top of my interview here was, again, I don't think they're going to back down. I think they're going to welcome the challenge, right? And there's been some struggles. There's been some growing pains. But, you know, you got to give kudos to Sandin and Liljegren who, you know, as young guys stepping up. And if they weren't playing the way that they were playing, I don't think this team would be where they are right now. So I think you have Connor Timmins is inserted tonight. So he's going to have a lot of motivation. There's going to be some money on the board. And, you know, Mete's paired with him as well, too. So I could see Gio stepping up and, you know, say what you want about Justin Hall. You know, he's playing some big, big minutes. And again, yeah, he's struggling here and there, but he's doing it, you know, keeping it simple. And he's playing above his playing time, but he's usually too. So for me, again, I think it's a team defense concept, and they're playing much better as a team. And that's with forwards as well. They're supporting, you know, they're having a good F3. They're collapsing and you know, really shutting down the defensive zone as well, too. They're not blowing the zone like they used to. So it's a really, really good team defense. I think that's the difference in years and months past as well.
Well, team defense led by those in net as well. Were you an optimist preseason with the Matt Murray, Ilya Samsonov pairing?
Vezina nominees?
Were you more confident now in giving them the Vezina over Jack Campbell, of course?
Well, just like everybody in the media, of course I was. I was like, yes, this is great, a two-headed monster. But that's the beauty of the NHL. You know, the ones that pretend to know everything don't, and the ones that do know everything don't pretend to. So I was a little bit skeptical just because my main concern with Murray was the injuries. And, you know, he's had the Stanley Cup pedigree, but, again, he's had too many injuries over the years where I was a little bit skeptical. But, you know, I'm eating a bit of crow because he came back from that injury. And he was playing solid. And what I like about his game, he doesn't overwork in the crease. He's always fronting the puck. He's square to the puck. You know, I always use the analogy, are you more like Carey Price or are you more like Jonathan Quick? He's always waiting for that puck to hit him. He looks big in the net. So I like the way that he's playing right now. And Samsonov was playing some great hockey as well, too. So I think when you have that competition, it's a healthy competition. It's good for the team. I think it's going to, you know, lead to more wins and, you know, hopefully for the Maple Leafs, a first-round victory, as they say.
Okay, we track white whales in the show. We want to know, in an ideal scenario, the perfect world, and it loosely can involve, you know, considerations like the salary cap and so on and so forth. But if there was a perfect world scenario for an in-season addition for the Toronto Maple Leafs, who would that player be?
Oh, prediction time. I'm going to go Justin Falk. And that was a player I think they should have got when he left Carolina. Right shot defenseman. He's got a big shot. He can play on the power play. Keeps it simple. Plays physical. He was my protege, actually, when I was in Carolina, so I showed him the ropes a little bit, too. But I like his game, and I'm not sure if he could be got. I know St. Louis Blues are struggling a little bit right now. But, yeah, I know there's the Patrick Kanes and maybe the Klingbergs, and there's some other guys out there, too. But, again, for me, I'm a really big, big advocate of Justin Falk and his game.
All right, last one here for you, Stewie. I'm not sure if you saw the Vegas Golden Knights-Boston Bruins game yesterday, but Bruce Cassidy coming in to face his former team. They hand the Boston Bruins their first home loss of the season, which is spectacular. How much money do you think was put on the board by Bruce Cassidy last night? That's, I assume you've been a part of that. It's a real thing, and the team wanted to get a win for him.
Well, technically, I'll give you a secret. I don't think the coaches are allowed to put money on the board.
That's boring.
So he would whisper to the trainer, and the trainer, we put it under the trainer. So the trainer would proxy. So guys are like, yeah, let's do it. The trainer put $4,000 on the board. They only put $25. Let's do it for the trainer. So sometimes it gets crazy. I played in some markets where guys were extra cheap, but I would not be surprised to see, you know, probably $3,000-$4,000 on the board.
What's the most that you saw?
I've seen $5,000. I've seen $5,000 before, but I think the most I've ever put on was $800.
Cheap.
And to this day, I have nightmares of guys calling me cheap.
Ailish not helping at all.
I always play in the Southeast, right? I always play in the Southeast, so I can't be put in $1,000 every time I go to Florida. We play them 9 times a year in Florida, so I average $300.
Nice.
Okay. This is back in 2008. So what are you doing?
That's like inflation
now. $5,000 now. Yeah, it's like $5,000.
So okay, you put up $800. How much did you? What's your biggest payday? You ever take down the money?
As a team, I think the team, yeah, I was the collector. So, you know, we used to put money on the board.
It goes into a team pot. It's not an individual
team
thing?
Pot. Yeah. Oh. And the funny thing is guys, the one team I was with, guys would just put money on the board just for the sake of doing it. They're like, well, I didn't think we had to pay. I'm like, what? So I'd actually show up at some guy's house like, hey man, I need that $1,200 and I'm not leaving to you. Check. I was, you have to pay the fiddler, as they would say. So.
That seems like a kind of awful job. It's like the fantasy football manager where you're just like chasing one guy every year for money and it's never.
I look like, was it Fat Tony? Fat Tony and the Simpsons. Where's the money? When can I get the money? Why don't they have the money? Where's the money?
Exactly. Stewie, we're looking forward to the broadcast and hopefully we'll chat again soon. This was a lot of fun.
All right. Thanks a lot. Go Leafs, go.
So a little disagreement there on. This is our insider brought to you by Don Valley. I always get that look from you like I did something terrible.
Read the read.
Like I just swore on air. This insider has been brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Just checking to make sure I didn't do anything grave error. I guess that is a grave error, though, missing the read, because he's our insider and he deserves such distinction. We do disagree with our insider, though, on what might be holding Nick Robertson back. It sounded like he just thought it was a coach thing. It's Sheldon Keefe's problem. Well, I think they're associated Sheldon Keefe's problem because Nick Robertson hasn't shown that he's ready to contribute regularly at a high level. And I feel like that still sticks out to me, where everyone's building up Jason Robertson as this amazing off the puck player. And then with Nick Robertson, like you can kind of, if you just watch him, if you just only watch him and not the play, it just seems like he's really uncomfortable when he doesn't have the puck, especially in the defensive zone. And I feel like if we're looking for distinctions, it's not really fair to Nick at all because his brother's playing at a Hart Trophy level. But if there is a difference, I feel like it's that off the puck.
I think there two things can be true at once. I think it was last week we had Luke Fox on who said one of the most confusing parts of this season has been the deployment of Nick Robertson. Like that, I'm paraphrasing, but that was a conversation we had. And I think a lot of people agreed with that because he hasn't been consistently put in that position. He's been in and out of the lineup and it's been a conversation point we've had many times. I'm sure it's not new in the media, but I do believe that you're also right in the fact that, well, he's out there and he's not contributing. So like, what gives first, right? But the other part of the situation is that we've only really seen him be comfortable in a second line top six role.
Mm-hmm.
In the bottom six, he hasn't been impactful.
That's the only thing Sheldon will give him, though.
Right. That's true. So it could be part deployment. It could be part his, you know, his play and what kind of player he is and maybe where he feels comfortable, too. He is a guy that is, when he's in the AHL or whenever he was playing at a high level, that's where he succeeds. Like he is the guy that is putting up points. He's mm-hmm. a top player. So maybe coming into the NHL has actually been a little bit of growing pains too, to not know how to produce at a level where you're not the guy that's putting the puck in the net.
Well, I wonder if he strikes some comfort on the second unit power play with his buddy SDA, Semyon Dur Arjutchinsev. Making his debut.
That's twice
for
today.
The Maple Leafs. I'm trying.
Last night, in front of the mirror, you were practicing this, were you not?
Of course.
You called up your dad.
There's a rehearsal in front of the mirror every night. And it's the worst part of my day. I wonder if that second line will get a second line power play. We'll get a little run. Maybe Nick Robertson and SDA can find some cross seams. And maybe those two can help each other out against the Dallas Stars and against his brother, Jason Robertson, tonight. There's a lot of intriguing things, including maybe you've been cooking up, you've been in the lab.
Oh, I got some parlays.
During the every break, you
up.
Are ready to fire on
I've been just being
Leaf
like,
Stars
hey, what do you think
parlays.
Of this one? Plus 45,000.
I'm like, yes, yes, I want that 45,000 ticket.
Just $5 today.
Lots of just $5. Lots of options for the Wake and Rake. One more reminder to get them in. You got about 5 minutes because the Wake and Rake on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan is next.
Everything Raptors, before and after the games. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
It's time for the Wake and Rake. On the Fan Morning Show, Justin and Ailish. Big money on the board tonight. If your gut believes
who's got the money
in streaks.
Up? Who's got the money up tonight?
I don't know. Somebody. The Robertson brothers.
I don't know if there's money up tonight.
Whatever.
Marchment?
Mason Marchment.
No.
I kind of forget about him. You can bet on him.
I can never forget about Mason Marchment. Never. He's such a stud, and he's inextricably linked to Dennis Malgin, who is a healthy scratch tonight in favor of Pontus Holmberg, Semyon Dur Arjutchinsev.
Three times.
Many a Leaf are getting in over Dennis Malgin, so I'll never forget.
Mason Marchman, plus 320 to score tonight. Revenge
I can forgive,
game.
But I can't forget.
Revenge game.
Okay.
Put that in your just $5.
I'm running
it's going to be outrageous.
My just $5 budget is running out.
All right, so
where do you want to start? Lots to go over here in the Wake and Rake.
Let's talk about what just happened during the break.
Okay. I'll let you...
No, you set it up because you forced me to do this.
Are we talking about the Amazon purchase?
Yeah.
Okay, so we had this idea, and it was kind of rekindled in my mind because I'm watching The White Lotus right now.
And apparently is amazing, and I need
it.
To watch.
I love it.
How many seasons am I behind?
It's on the second season right
okay,
now.
I think the finale
is this weekend. I'm trying to catch up. Anyway, in the third episode... One of the main characters, the only character that's on both seasons, calls for a psychic who does a tarot reading. And we had this idea that we do a Toronto tarot card reading. and it kind of fell by the wayside, but I think it's a great idea. So it's basically just a look into the future where you actually decipher what the cards actually mean mm-hmm. after you've dealt them. So we got our Toronto tarot cards.
Maybe I just ordered them.
It can't just be Toronto. But
$25.
$25. I'll pay you back.
It'll be here tomorrow.
I'll buy so many small donuts that you'll never think about
it again. Win me a bet and then we're good.
Anyway, I don't know when we should start this, but I think maybe for the Buffalo Bills playoff is like the next big thing where we can forecast what happens, or we can have a peek into the future based on what these cards say. So we'll do a tarot reading, I think, for the Buffalo Bills.
So I bought them to use once?
No, and then we'll do the Jays.
Can we not? Oh, my God,
we'll
the Jays,
the Leafs
that's
playoffs.
Years from now.
What do you want to do it for the weekend?
I would like to find a way to use it weekly,
Mike White's weekend. That's not exciting. It's got to be special. It's reserved for something big.
No, Mr. Irrelevant, is he going to do well?
So we'll look at the cards. You want to do a Brock Purdy one. It's supposed to be Toronto Sports. Anyway.
Says who? You don't make the rules.
We'll figure all this out, but I think it's a good idea. We'll interpret what the future may hold for these teams, and we'll see if it comes true.
I'm going to end up like living or dying by these tarot cards every morning. Am I going to have a good show? Ooh, I can't come in.
Exactly. Well, you don't want to mess with the tarot cards too much.
Because there's a whole world of people that...
And we don't want to make fun.
No, I'm not making fun. I'm excited for this.
Okay.
But it's going to be...
We'll figure out what
we're going to get a bad card, and we're going to be like, it's okay, it's opposite day.
No, we got to... What the cards say is what they say.
I mean, it is like the cards that... Like the fates... Is it religious? Does it have to do with God?
I think it's more spiritual
spirits.
Than
religious. The spirits decide.
Right.
Anyway, so...
We'll figure that all out. Let's...
That's fun.
World Cup first or Leafs?
World Cup.
Okay. I love the World Cup today. I love the World Cup in general. You know that. And we'll get another pick from the World Cup today. I'm most excited for Switzerland and Portugal because I feel like there is major upset potential. Like, we haven't seen an upset in the round of 16 yet. I think this is where it happens. I think Switzerland is winning this game.
Well, it's also your Switzerland, so you're willing it to happen.
And generally, I'm kind of a happiness hedge guy. Like, I would normally be all over Portugal in this situation because I'm just trying to have one part of the equation that benefits me. But I believe in the Swiss here. I think the Swiss are going to win this game. I think they're going to advance to the quarterfinals and give us that one upset, and it's going to happen today. Portugal's got some infighting. Everyone hates Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, did you see how much money he's going for here?
He's going to Saudi Arabia to play for $200 million. He's kind of... I don't think anyone really likes being around him, and that includes the Portuguese national team. And for a trip home... Well, that's what they earn with a loss here to the Swiss. Mm-hmm. Now, that I don't think that's... It may be a big thing. It might be a massive thing. It could be what is the difference between these two teams is that one team likes each other, playing for each other. Vibes are off.
If you flip the tarot card, nothing you can really do about it. Bad vibes.
A snake appears on the tarot card.
There's snakes on these cards?
I don't know. We'll see.
There's no way.
I'm pretty sure there will be.
Wow.
There'll be something like that. Anyway. I don't like the Portuguese chances today. I love Switzerland plus 350 inside the 90. I love Switzerland to qualify plus 200. I like both teams to score at minus 106. I'm going to be sprinkling all over the board with the idea in mind that the Swiss are going to be heavily, heavily involved and perhaps win this game.
Okay.
However, my pick for the Wake and Rake comes in the other game, Morocco-Spain. On the Asian line, Spain minus one goal. There's a chance we push if Spain wins by one in regular time, but I just think they're better than Morocco. Morocco is very good. I just don't think they can win a track meet with Spain. They can maybe hold Spain off from scoring that second goal because they are very, very good defensively. We've seen it firsthand against Canada. But I think Spain's talent will eventually win over. If they score early, I expect them to get another one. I think you could look at the both teams don't score, but it may be Morocco scores late. I just don't want to go that route. I feel comfortable with Spain advancing. I feel comfortable with Spain winning inside the 90 minutes. So my pick will be on the Asian line, Spain minus one goal.
All right. So Morocco-Spain, the 10 a.m. game. Portugal-Switzerland, the 2 p.m. game. Justin's Wake and Rake, Spain minus one on the Asian handicap. Okay. So.
Can I give you one more?
Oh, please.
Switzerland and Portugal go to extra time, maybe go to penalties. If that's at a big number, I kind of like that as well.
Interesting.
I think this one goes the way Japan-Croatia went.
Okay, so I texted you this yesterday. I want the golden goal back.
What do you mean?
Like, I want the sudden death.
It's still a golden goal.
Not really.
It's right? Just you have to play the remaining minutes.
That's the opposite of a golden goal. I want instant death.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
What do you think the golden goal means?
I don't know.
Do you play the rest of overtime?
I don't know why they do this.
You should know the golden goal personally very well.
I understand that it's the decisive goal, but I don't know why they do this. They do extra time with, you know, split halves and I guess the equal chance both ways, which is kind of weird because you're just trying to get the game over with at that point.
Yes.
So I feel like if someone scores, that should be it. But that's just how they do it.
The intensity would be so high. They're like kind of like just chilling.
It is, but it isn't, because at that point they're so tired. They're not even playing. Like, I don't even think they can be intense. Honestly, did you see two teams really going after
yesterday? No, they were exhausted, which means someone will capitalize.
Croatia had a few chances, but like the goals generally don't happen. When it goes to extra time, it goes to penalties.
But then watch the penalties and it was garbage.
It was awful. You're right.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I just thought you meant you want them to play forever until a goal is scored. And we're like, we'll be here all day. There will be deaths.
Okay.
If not deaths, severe cramping.
All right. That's your World Cup rundown. The big ticket tonight, Leafs Stars. Marner looking to extend his record-breaking point streak. Same with Jason Robertson playing against his brother, and brother got the best of him last time with the two goals, OT win, the only OT win that the Leafs have this season. A lot of intrigue in this game. I cannot wait for it. 8:30 start, though, so you'll have to wait for it, sadly.
Yeah, a little annoying. Little annoying, but that's fine.
It'll just add to the anticipation. Okay, so
Give us your lottery tickets.
Yeah.
Give us your parlays for the
Leafs and Dallas. Both -110 on the money line, and no one knows what's happening here.
It's a good
just coin.
Good coin flip match.
Over under at 6.5. There's juice on the under. You felt like it could be an under game when we spoke earlier.
Yeah, I mean the quality of the goaltenders. Maybe it's a tight game. Maybe it's a game that's closely contested. Maybe these teams are really wise to each other's strengths. I feel like those are very distinct possibilities. Mm-hmm. If I had to lean one way, it would be the same as Vegas with the under.
Okay, so we made two different parlays here. Marner to get an assist, which he's doing quite well at that.
Yes.
Parlayed.
The goals have been there too, but assists have been more likely.
More confident in assists.
Okay.
So Marner assist parlayed with Jason Robertson to score, which he's also been quite good at. Under 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason Robertson to get 2 points.
Jason Robertson goal or Nick Robertson
goal? Jason Robertson goal and Jason Robertson to get 2 points, which is what you told me.
Yep.
Marner with an assist and under in the game is plus 2,200. That's kind of more of your like narrative-based.
Yeah.
All signs point to this being like a realistic bet.
One streak is superior to the other. Nick Robertson's a little bit better. It's been a little bit more impressive.
Fine.
So he gets a little bit more out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Marner's continues, and the game stays under. Now, I guess that's a little contradictory, but who's doing the scoring for the Leafs? Only the core four. Who's doing the scoring for Dallas? Well, maybe a little bit more spread out, but mainly Jason Robertson in that number one line.
Can I give you my next level spice, just $5?
Let's turn it up a little bit.
Okay, that was, that's too careful. Mitch Marner to get an assist. Jason Robertson to score a goal. Nick Robertson to score a goal. Under in the game, and Jason Robertson to get, again, 2 points. So all I added into that one was Nick Robertson to score a goal against his brother, plus 15,000.
Can I make one suggestion on it?
You can.
Because we're adding the Nick Robertson goal, do we tease the total up to 7.5 just to give us a little
extra space?
A little extra space. I guess it won't be plus a million,
but it's fine.
It'll be a little bit more likely to hit.
I just think that it's
a couple fun lottery tickets.
It's so fun. Today's a perfect just $5 bet.
Okay, so
you want to throw Mason Marchman in there for fun?
Whew, now we're not leaving much space for the under.
Well, just remove the under. Do Nick Robertson, Jason Robertson, Mason Marchman, and Mitch Marner. And honestly, you wouldn't have to come into work tomorrow. You can retire.
Okay, a couple Leafs narrative parlays. Fun stuff.
It's fun. Why not?
Let's get to the Wake and Rake.
Okay, so my selection, and I talked about this yesterday in Winners, Anthony Davis. I mean, the Lakers are playing the Cavs, so they're going to be in a little bit of a world of hurt, possibly, but AD has been absolutely impeccable as of late. Last game,
out of nowhere, too, by the way.
55 points and 17 rebounds the game previous. And that was against Washington. The game against the Bucks, 44 points, 10 rebounds. He's averaging a career high in points and rebounds significantly. Tonight, against the Cavs, where Jared Allen has missed five of the last games with a back injury. He could return, he could not return. Either way, he's not going to be at full health. I think I can speculate that.
Okay.
AD to get over points. 28.5 is what it said at. I'm adding that into my selection for the Wake and Rake.
When you were talking about AD, I was like, this is only Wilt territory. You know, only like someone does something and the only player that's ever done that in history is Wilt Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. I just quickly Twitter searched AD Wilt. Mm-hmm. First thing that comes up. Lakers with 50 and 15 game in the last 60 years. Wilt, Shaq. Shaq's in there as well.
Right.
And AD. So he's on one right
now. You ride the hot hand.
Yeah, and we'll continue on with that. I do worry a little bit about the Mobley Allen thing when we talk about, you know, points in the paint, maybe rebounds.
But he did this against the Bucks.
But you were also thinking, true, but you were also thinking of adding rebounds and just limiting it to points. I feel like that's a safer bet than than making sure that he gets a double-double, making sure that he gets 12 or 13 rebounds.
A lot of rebounds.
He's been picking up those with regularity as well, as you mentioned.
Let's just simplify, though.
Simplify it with the points.
80 over points. Okay, so let's go through our Wake and Rake anchor submissions. Let's start with our guy, Ron and Markham. Good morning. Firstly, we want to give a shout-out to Parlay Poppy for the Golden State Warriors Parlay. Look at how our people are becoming friends in the text line. Mm-hmm. It's so sweet.
It's pretty fantastic.
It didn't cash with Croatia, but thanks for the mention. Julian and I were at the Raptors game last night and tried to will the anchor over, but it came up short. Okay, by the way, our anchor pick was Raptors over 226 points. And but they, or 227, they ended up getting 226. Heartbreaker, but I already ruined it. So let's see if we can get it going today. I will turn to World Cup soccer and take both teams to score in the Portugal-Switzerland game.
I love it.
Juliana loves the Leafs to win, but she thinks Jason Robertson will score a goal tonight. Take Robertson to score plus 108.
Wow, Jason Robertson's plus 108 tonight?
It's like losing money.
It's in our parlay, so probably not going to double down on that. Maybe
but he
I
likes
should, but
both teams to score in Portugal-Switzerland, which
I love that
you
pick.
Also like.
Yeah.
All right, so multiple texts in about this one, which I've got my eyes on as well. Jason Robertson over shots.
3.5 minus 140.
I know that we haven't wanted like Nick it. Shots, but not up yet. So Jason shots over 3.5. Another text in here. Good morning. Today I'm taking a page out of your book, Ailish. I'm going Jason Robertson over 3.5 shots. I would be surprised if that's not your pick too. Corey from Port Hope.
Okay, a clear leader has emerged. We already have two on Jason Robertson shots. It's going to be hard to beat that, but we'll see.
All right, Jay from St. Catharines. Picking the anchor, Blues and Islanders over 6 goals at plus 100.
You know, typical over teams, Blues and Islanders. I don't know about that.
Okay, Jeff from Oakville. Hi, Wake and Rake for today. A delicious hockey moneyline parlay. Penguins, Devils, and Hurricanes. Jeff from Oakville.
I'll have to quickly search who they're playing. Devils got the Blackhawks.
Well, Devils got the Blackhawks. I was already thinking about doing them on the puck
Hurricanes
line.
Hurricanes and Ducks. And what was the other one?
The other one was Penguins.
Penguins are dealing with the Columbus Blue Jackets today. So definitely a fade on three of the worst teams in the league. But those dogs, they come through sometimes.
All right. Cody in St. Catharines here. Good morning. My best bet for tonight is Marner to go over Sis. He's going to look to spread the puck around early and should draw some attention off Matthews. Also love an ultimate revenge game. Red Wings at Tampa tonight. Big dogs, but Stevie Y will have money on the board.
There it is again.
Larkin will be buzzing. Cody in St. Kitts.
Stevie Y doesn't cheap out with the money on the board.
No, he's
now, he's
got
not
a
allowed
grand
to,
up
as,
there.
Oh, as yeah, Stewie that's mentioned, but maybe the training staff will have a big budget tonight.
So Marner over assist could be an interesting anchor as well. So I think we'll definitely have to anchor from the Leafs game if we're not picking any Leafs, okay?
I like the shots more than
me
the
too.
Assist.
All right, Matt in Toronto. Well, guys, it's time to start talking about the elephant in the room. Matt Murray is the Vezina Trophy candidate we didn't know we needed. He fooled the Sens into trading him this summer, all for his master plan of taking the Leafs to the second round of the playoffs. It's time to make some room on Legends Statue Row outside the arena. The first Leafs legend enshrined in gold. Drop the contract. Shanahan will pass the role on to vice president of the day. Murray retires. Let's not stop there. Future prime minister, perhaps. But it all starts tonight with a shutout. Take the under in the Leafs game today. I've got a really good feeling about this one. So the under in the Leafs game, we definitely spoke about that.
Yep. It's in the parlay. Everything's in our parlay that we've been considering here. That's maybe portends good things.
We're thinking well with our text line.
Okay, last one here.
Parlay Poppy and his Croatian side made it on as predicted. Love many games tonight. Devils on the puck line is my favorite of the night. Penguins on a puck line is a close second. The Red Wings don't stand a chance against the Lightning. Looking at another puck line here with the Lightning. Mavs are on the back-to-back, so look for Jokic and the Nuggets to serve up a 10-piece with fries and a Diet Coke. Denver money line. Poppy out.
Whew. He doesn't, like, the texts are great from Parlay Poppy, but he doesn't need to say much. I'm tailing. Denver money line. I'm doing it. Let's go.
Do you think that he, like, wakes up and starts, like, grabs a coffee and just starts typing out, like, drafting something in the notes and then sends it in? Like, how do they go about these, him and Matt in Toronto? I want to know their game day ritual.
Let us know. Let us know how,
like,
you go about it.
The night before, are you scripting this out? Do you wake up and just go with your gut? I need to know the process of these two and their texts.
Are they putting in more effort than us?
Are they friends? Like, are they like, hey, man, what's your text? Oh, I'm going to beat you.
I mean, we're building friendships. We are here creating in the text line. It's
friendships
fantastic.
Between our friends. Okay, so I think it's either Jason Robertson over shots, Marner to get an assist, or under in the Leafs game.
My vote is Robertson over shots.
I mean, I think we got to go with that. That's been a staple of my betting. It's been quite consistently good.
Corey thought it would be your pick.
Corey knows. Let's do it. All right. I loaded it in there. It's got some juice on it, but whatever. Anthony Davis over 28.5 points in the Lakers-Cavs game. Red hot AD. Red hot Jason Robertson over 3.5 shots in the Leafs-Stars game tonight in Spain. -1 on the Asian handicap against Morocco. Altogether, your Wake and Rake is +576 today.
Whew, that's pretty good. I was expecting it to be a little lower.
You've got your couple just $5 bets to throw in there as well. I just can't wait to watch this game.
Is it the most anticipated Leaf game of the year? We had Tampa on the weekend.
No.
We had Boston about a month ago.
Not even close.
I kind of feel like it is.
This has to be. Two of the hottest players in the NHL going head-to-head on point streaks that are unmatched.
And I think
the brotherly connection,
maybe not to say that Boston Tampa illegitimate by any means, but this feels like a legitimate test where both are sizing each other up, are not going to see each other again, and might be able to make a statement against each other. I think both teams kind of feel the same way about each other. I guess I'm getting into their heads a little bit, but it feels like a really, really not important, but something just to showcase. A showcase of two great teams going after each other.
This is like,
and
the
brother storyline, the streak storyline. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that goes into
this
it.
This might be the most anticipated NHL game of the season.
Definitely a Toronto lens. We're seeing this through. But
this could be the most anticipated NHL game since the Stanley Cup final. I just got to read that. Allie in Toronto and I have had the same pick twice in a row now. Yesterday and today. I mean, mine didn't hit, but Allie and I are sharing a brain. I said we're besties.
Okay, that's great.
Another text in here. Eric from Burlington. Bet on the Jays to do nothing at the winter meetings 2 days in a row. Ooh, he's not happy. If you listen to the 6 o'clock hour, we lined up some things that the Jays could be interested in. Some players that they have realistic expectations and offers on the table to. JP Morosi.
So circle back.
Stirring the
download,
pot.
Download, rate, review, subscribe, all those great things. Let's get to the news out of women's soccer.
Yes, I wanted to make sure we talked about that. Yesterday, the GOAT, Christine Sinclair, and Diana Matheson announced that they have a plan together with others, but the two of
investors,
them headlining this, of
some
course.
Sponsors, yeah.
To have a domestic professional women's soccer league kicking off in 2025, featuring 8 teams across Canada. Many of, as I don't know if everybody knows this, but many Canadian national team players play in Europe or across the border to the NWSL. So they want to create a homegrown Canadian women's professional soccer league here, mm-hmm. 8 teams starting in 2025. The company is called Project 8 with her and Matheson. So the league has no name yet, looking to have, you know, a cross-country appeal. I think Vancouver is the first team to commit to the team with the Whitecaps, but a huge announcement for professional women's sports, professional women's soccer. As someone that's, you know, hoping that this happens to the Women's Hockey League, I think it's an interesting step in the right direction. But you raised a good point. Their goal is to bring back the Canadian professional players that are overseas to play in this league.
Yeah. And I find that interesting. Like, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, honestly.
They stated that as their goal.
Now, this is fantastic news. I mean, one of the jewels,
100%.
One of the jewels of Canadian sports is the Canadian women's national soccer team. One of the highest performing entities that we have. They should be supported, celebrated. This will help them continue to be great, which they are now and which they will continue to be. And I think it's going to be really critical for the development of new players that can get onto that team to have a league where they can play professionally, get paid, and do all these great things. However, I don't know if it's great to want to recruit these players back home, because if you're playing overseas, you're playing against the top competition.
That's
the Jordan
right.
Heidemas, Janine Beckys, the Khadisha Buchanans, they're all overseas playing against great players. And I wonder if you, because this doesn't want to be a developmental league, but it'll be partly a developmental league. It won't be Paris Saint-Germain or Chelsea. Like, it will be, it will take a little while to get to the height of the sport or that league to be playing at a really, really high level. So I wonder if that's a good thing. I wonder if it just should be a developmental system where you're trying to get players overseas, but you're really trying to build the foundation really, really strong. I wonder how it all shakes down. But, like, you can't spin it as anything but an immense positive. This is a great thing that the women's game will be supported, that this women's team, which is, again, one of our best teams, if not our best team, continues to be supported. This is going to go a long way if and when it gets off the ground.
I certainly think it's immensely important that kids here in Canada have the accessibility to watch professional women's soccer in their backyard. I think that that is possibly the best part about this, is that it's going to be local. There's going to be clubs that you can go watch. And we talked about this with men's soccer. There's probably people that are developing that you can't see in Regina, right? So if you have a professional women's team locally,
maybe you get scouted out of youth sports.
Exactly.
Like, there's different paths, right?
It's way more accessible. And that's something with the women's side of hockey that we want. And I think that soccer is making an incredible step forward in this. I'm really proud to see it. I'm excited to see the process that goes into that, because it's not easy. It takes a lot of money, a lot of sponsorship, a lot of great infrastructure. And they have a big mountain to climb. They have told, you know, they want it 2025, which I think is good. It's not like around the corner. They have some time to make it happen. But, you know, congratulations to them for making this happen. I really hope that we can be a part of telling the story and that it's a success. So,
yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Looking forward to all the sports today.
Biggest game of the year tonight.
World Cup and your Leafs and Stars. Can't wait to break it all down tomorrow with the continuation of both point streaks. That's my bet. That was Justin and Alex from the Fan Morning Show. See you tomorrow.